Hello and welcome back to Creatives Chat. And boy, have we got a special show lined up for you this week and next week. So Peter, why don't you fill us in?
Oh, Rusty, I love it. Because we've had more than 80 guests come on to Creatives Chat with more than 130 episodes, if you include those after shows. And we have a lot of content we haven't showed our viewers that really just didn't make the final cut. So we're here to do something special for the fans.
Yep, I've been saving highlights along the way. Some of this is behind the scenes footage, kind of a sneak peek into really what happens on Creatives Chat. So sit back as we reflect back on our Creatives Chats.
Roll the intro.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by
WeAreHistorically.com. Conscious human apparel.
Raise your vibration and energize your life with specialized Fibonacci tuning forks that deepen meditations and empower self-healing. Get your vibrational sound tools for personal enhancement at energybodytuners.com.
That deeply rooted gratitude for life has been a reassuring reminder, you know, that human beings are so strong. Like, we're all capable of handling whatever life presents us. And whether we do that gracefully in the moment or, you know, kind of digest and process the lessons and, you know, turn that into wisdom later on.
Because I think we forget that part. It's when we're reminded that we have and that's really what our show is about, is reminding each other that we have the innate ability to overcome anything when we throw our creative mind to it.
And also in that sense of how much we can problem solve when there's three creative minds talking about something, like how deep we can take things to another level and continue to kind of like add and tinker and tweak things to just keep building it. And like the snowball effect, they're just like, oh wow, this is a small point that just expanded into a huge powerhouse of a conception of an idea, you know, of potential. And I think that's one of the coolest things, again, where it's like, man, you're going to hear me say it a lot. Like, there's been just an infinite amount of cool things that have happened this year. It's hard to put into words or even time, just like how many takeaways I've had from each guest, every show. Because again, like, I live life each moment at a time, really trying to learn and process and digest and apply as much as I can with each moment, day, year, that we've really compressed so many different like life lessons with each show that it's just like afterwards, it's almost like I don't want to say it's like Highlander because this was pretty gruesome, but like, it's like, you know, Highlander, if you don't know Highlander, it's a show. It's also, I'm pretty sure, a book as well. I just grew up watching the show, but it's like immortals that when they fight each other, whoever wins kind of gains that immortals energy of all the experiences and things that they've lived through. And it's like, that's kind of what my
takeaway. You grew up on the show. I grew up on the movie. So,
I had both. Trust me, I'm the old school. But like, it was really cool for me just because when it clicked, I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was after like our first 2 months of shows, where I was noticing profound. It's like those synchronicities, those, you know, coincidental moments in life where I was just like, wow. I know how to handle this situation because I just heard someone experiencing how they handled it. You know, I've been able to apply their lessons in real time, apply it into my own life and my own experience, my own way. And I think that's been one of the coolest things. Again, like, you're going to hear me say that a lot. I think one of the coolest things, but it's been a really eye-opening experience just to have, I don't know. It's hard to put it into words. Again, like the Highlander example is the only one that I can get where it's
absorb their energy and absorb their experiences.
Yeah.
I get it. So it comes like I get more tools for my utility belt, you know.
Right. And now I got multiple belts.
That's right.
Well, that's the coolest part about it is, you know, there's an infinite amount of information that we can learn from one another.
Yeah, let's hear some comments. What have been some of our listeners' takeaways? What is your experience of our show? Because right now our format is, there is none. We just take it as it is. And of all the shows I've done, this is the first one like it. And that
style.
Yeah. And I got to say, it's risky. It's very risky, you know, because we never know what to expect. But Peter and I do trust the process that we're actually used to the process now that we don't even worry about it anymore. We actually welcome it. We embrace it. We embrace the flow.
Oh, yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. You know, one of the words we haven't used in here, and I've noticed it for myself, it's been a huge journey of coming out of victim. You know, I had a hard coming up. Yeah, I had hard coming up, and I had some really, really difficult things happen in my life that were, you know, that were hard. And like, so I had a consciousness in that, that's where it was. And it was in my body. It was in my practices. Mm-hmm. It was in my energy, expectations I was creating through it. You know, like, and the opposite of captain is victim. We can start to go from victim. I mean, it's a healing journey, but we can start to go from victim to victor. You know, we can start to go to captain, and it doesn't mean power over, but it does mean I win. So it's been funny the last many years now. I'm just constantly in this vibration. I had a friend of mine, I was reading the other day, and she, I was just like, what's that? What is that energy that you're experiencing right now? And she's like, feels like I win. I'm like, I'm not the only one. Cause like, I'm just feeling like I'm winning all the time. You know, that's what happens when as I've come out of victim, I'm always winning. Like everything is going my way. Things are working. I have like the best job, the best partner, the best life, but right. Like, it's just like, I'm winning and not anybody has to lose, but I just feel so good to be like, not under it anymore.
And that's an important point, is not anyone has to lose. Yeah, 100%. And
nobody but has to lose.
And that's the real sign for me, that when you find someone that is experiencing these powers that are awakening and living in the source, knowing and love, is it's, you can achieve and be accomplished and conquer and overcome whatever it is you're going to do. And it's never going to be at the expense of someone else. It's just going to be that. It's just going to be that, always winning. And if others want to join, they'll win too, but it's not going to be, well, I'm winning at your expense. Ha ha ha. Like, it's that when you end the victimhood and the combative mentality, the separativeness, that's when we awaken to it.
It's awesome. You're just so fun to play with.
Likewise. It's always tight to tap into these types of things. Cause again, like, you know, from the teacher to teacher perspective, that's how it always gives me really tremendous amounts of just love and hope for the world when others recognize where you come from when you're healing. Like
the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful.
Yeah. And it's all about, you know, just that creating space and just keep being true to yourself and your spirit. It's always refreshing.
Yeah. It pays off.
That was a very powerful conversation. The hair on my neck was standing up for most of the show, going, we couldn't have planned this any better.
I know. This is us not. All right, you want to do it? Sure, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about self-mastery. This was a perfect example of it, to be able to just be presented with the situation and show up as you are and be who you are and just, you know, trust the process.
Yeah, no, right there. That's an excellent way to put it. Not less, not more. We're all capable of just tapping into source, whatever.
Yeah, because spirits don't scare me one bit, by the way. Spirit world is not scary. And I spend my whole day in it. If you think about it, all I'm doing is talking. It's like, okay, whatever. And they talk to me all day sometimes, right? Yeah. The higher universe is always chatting with me.
Yeah.
Like it just keeping me in line, like keeping me honest and also keeping me humble. Like, cause there's no way I didn't know any of these spiritual values and ideas I now have. I was taught them all through reading cards for people. I had no idea about past lives till the cards started talking about. So I'm channeling all this stuff. And then I went, oh, is that how it works? I'm learning as I'm it's coming out my mouth, but I'm telling you, I didn't think about it intellectually. I'll tell you. And then I'll read a book and it says the very same thing. Like, Crazy. Yeah. So it's like, okay, spirit world already told me that.
Yeah. And then being advised by your own advice is always one of those ones like, ooh.
It's like, wow, did that just come out my mouth? Awesome.
This is the stuff I wanted to hear because I'm like, I see you. I've seen you for months now. I'm just like, what is her backstory like? Like, how did she get into this stuff? And like, how does she discern so well? Because that's the biggest thing that I've seen from other readers and just ones that I know personally. It's the discernment with the cards and really being able to tie together the bigger picture of it. It's very interesting to see the objective nature. And because that's why I was curious about your protocol. It's like she's very scientific about this.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, I think that we're just at the beginning of our friendship, fellows.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think I might have met two new friends today.
Of course.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, right I appreciate
you. Guys are
you.
Awesome, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for time skipping with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you get into the interesting aspect of like geometry and power shapes, where it's like the triangle is a power shape and all these different like spiritual practices, they're always big on three. And it's like, I'm curious how even that can interact. Cause like, I know we deal with it with every show. Cause you know, we pull in the after show, Rusty pops in, then it's just like the energy does kind of transmute and it has to be, it's a different balance.
Yeah.
And it's always funny trying to align with, or I guess you would say to realign that, because again, it's like when people, with how long we talk, it can be like, oh, we're super comfortable just two, you know, mm-hmm. And then it's the third comes in, but it's been even more interesting because like, you know, when you're having a, because we've had four at one point, because it's like Rusty will pop in and I'm interviewing two people. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's an even different dynamic and dialogue that happens. And it's, I think that's the interesting thing about energy is it's always fascinating when we have multiple opportunities to play with others in that sense.
Yeah.
And just how it begins to grow and shape itself through the moment. Because then it's even more potential. Like, it's like almost energies get stacked where it's just like, all right, now you got this much more potential for something.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah, that's what it is too, is about, there's something special about doing a podcast, right? Because we're recording the energy of the moment between our interaction. We didn't write anything. I didn't come with any specific questions. We're legitimately, right now, as we speak, recording what comes off of my mind authentically. Like I didn't prepare any of this. So like what we're doing is kind of cool. It's like a form of improv. Like we are quite literally, this energy that we're talking about, that we're cultivating, we're showing that here. There's no fakery. There's no, at least me, I don't know. I'm being real. Like I'm legitimately being me, who I want to be, and saying what I want to say in this moment off the top of my head. Yeah. I think there's something special to that, to having that interaction. You know, so getting back to what we were saying, when you throw a third person in the mix of that, it changes it. Like there is something in, or a fourth person, it totally changes it to like a whole different kind of moment that you're recording, you know, because it's one-on-one, it's very easy to come to certain conclusions, get on the same wavelength. Another person, they might have a different viewpoint. It's hard to reach that same wavelength. Fourth person, fifth person, the more voices you throw in there, it just gets tougher and tougher. But it's about like authentically recording this moment we're in and being able to go with get on the same flow. Like, you know, that flow that you say you can't resist is if you can all we can ride that same flow with our words and our same thought patterns. It's almost like a way of telepathy through the podcast, you know. It's like we're tapping in. All three of us are able to tap in to the same thing all at the same time. We're all able to like be on that same wavelength and then show it here on camera. It's something special.
There is a greater level of intimacy when it's one-on-one, and that's usually why I'm out of the picture and when we do that to allow for that intimacy. And then once that intimacy and there becomes this trust that's built, and like you said, there's an exchange that occurs you know. And so when a third person there is in the mix, and sometimes I do feel like a third wheel. Yeah. Maybe I should just pop out, let you guys keep talking, right?
No, I love it.
But then I also realize, wait, there is something I can contribute, or maybe I could just hold the space for you guys to keep talking and bite my tongue, you know, and just let you guys be. And so there becomes from my perspective, being the third wheel, like there's sometimes I get to be the observer of the conversation. So I have an objective contribution to make.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, so it is interesting watching it when the fourth person is injected, you know, and how the group dynamic changes. It becomes a completely different conversation.
Yeah, it's well, because it changed, like, and I think that's just almost like a small scale aspect of like the societal things that go on with just how complicated things can get with people. Because, and I almost want to say maybe that's probably why, you know, whatever powers that be have used the tribalistic aspect, you know, of getting it being like a black and white, an A and B. You know, a you versus me, you know, there was always a dual forces that they use because they kind of hijack the natural expressions of the universe of like duality here to get people to team up and bear and like kind of just jump in. But like the complexities, even through like multi-person conversation, you come to recognize that it's like, whoa, 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 like your own web of just cosmic consciousness. You're your own web of cosmic consciousness. You're your own web of cosmic consciousness. There's a million and one different angles and perspectives we can come up with between three people. But like the way that it oversects and overlaps just always goes to show that we always, like in the conversation we were talking about earlier, where it's like everything that we're talking about really just brings it back to that lesson of just like, we're all stemming from the same source. We're all coming from that place of our own, you know, heart at mind or our own self-interest. So it's fascinating just to see the kind of human nature that gets hijacked and used as a divide and conquer tactic. It's wild to me.
Yeah. 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 There's always that aspect of competition, I guess. Mm. And, but through that competition, we can reach a cooperation and reach the same. It's just, there's always that aspect of difference. That's what it is. We're always going to have differences. But I think if you can transcend the differences and reach the same wavelength very easily, if you know how to just listen, I think, if you just know how to understand people, you have a sense of empathy.
Ooh, Rusty, I'm excited. We're bringing back a very special guest. He's the CEO and founder of Chip In. He's a former professional baseball player. The game changer himself, Mr. Gerald Smiley.
When do you sleep?
Never. And that's where, like, I'm so thankful that I have, that God sent me the woman that I have, because I don't know if I wasn't building something like that and a spouse was, it takes a special individual to see that. So
not only that, you spend a lot of time in the air too, don't you?
Yeah.
I get it. You go to every length. I'm about to say you go to any length, you go to every length.
Hey man, that company that's gonna change the world, you gotta be mobile.
Is that a fly?
Yeah, I was like a fruit fly just came across. I was okay. Like, I was gonna grab it, but I was like
don't start tripping, Craig. It's Friday.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say you got shit to do. That's great.
It's fly day.
That's too funny.
Yeah, you are an inspiration to entrepreneurs everywhere. I tell you, man.
Appreciate that.
A real disruptor. And I think your nickname should be Game Changer.
Game Changer.
Wow.
It's gonna make some happenings. But
yeah, I want one of those shirts so I can take a picture of it too. I like that. We are historically connected, though. I'm in.
Thank you.
I'm really, really locked in on water. Water is my bread and butter. You know, I mean, that's so.
And so that leads me to my next question, the type of water.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a big question. I usually, me personally, I use distilled water and then I take it through a process. So I put it outside in a clear glass jar. I let the sun ionize and energize it. It also continues the process of breaking down any inorganic compounds in the water, also reformatting the water energetically speaking, because water will hold on to frequency. And then I kind of reaffirm that process with the gemstones to just keep the water healthy. And that's the water I drink.
Okay. Have you got time for one more question?
You're pushing it. Go ahead.
When you say gemstones, you mean crystals?
Yep. Crystals, gemstones. Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. Any specific ones that you use?
No, not quartz. So there's different clusters. Quartz, rose quartz, garnet, tiger eye, whatever, you know, the company I'm affiliated with, they put together little pods, different crystals for different purposes, vitality, wealth, fitness, et cetera. And those gems, I guess, because of their resonance frequency, they tend to, I guess, aid in different areas, but you can use whatever you want.
Yo, new Thank protocol. You. I love it. I love that. He offers spiritual guidance where healing and self-realization work hand in hand in his satsang and healing work. We have Ariel. Oh, let me do the last part real quick. Cool. We have Ariel of Mindful Adventures.
Everybody, get your scuba suits on because we're getting ready to take a deep dive. Meet Ariel.
So this brings me to that point of, because I'm curious, because I find that there's this capacity that opens up to feel these high elations, you know, like when you do have these recognitions that everything is source. And that's also kind of like the double-edged sword, is that you recognize where things come from, you're able to see yourself and all for what it is, but the capacity to feel the pain and the suffering, the capacity to feel the joys and the excitements grow even bigger. And that's even more of like the, it's an opportunity, because it's like, yeah, you don't get to feel that. You don't get to feel the peaks and the valleys. You don't get to explore such that range of this human experience until you have a little bit more balance of what you are and knowing of yourself. But I also find that that's kind of like the paradox there, is that like you can be susceptible to being even more sensitive to the negative, being more attached and drawn towards the positive. So what would be some reminders and words of advice for those kind of experiencing this baby Buddhahood moment where they're like, these awesome recognitions, but now things hurt even more.
yes. This is actually something that for many months was a little bit of a challenge for me, because I was always told growing up, oh, you're so highly sensitive. You know, you hear of the HSP, the highly sensitive person. So then I really discovered that sensitivity after the insight. Mm. And many nights of crying, looking up at the moon, saying, wow, does anybody else really see? They don't see the suffering, what's going on in the world. And then this is the thing, is after there's a recognition, a self-recognition, what's important is to stay as the self. And yes, the sadness will come and go, all of the different wide range of the peaks and valleys and the emotions that you're referring to, it will come and go, but to return to the self, to stay as the self. Right? Because the tricky thing is that we can easily, especially when the mind is conditioned to going into narration mode and story mode, we easily create a new story that will end up being a distraction rather than just abiding as the awareness. If you lose a little bit of abidance, that's okay too. Really, there's space for all of that. It's consciousness. But then recognizing it and then turning the attention back inwards and staying as the self. That's the best advice I could give.
I love it. That's right there is the secret sauce, because again, there's these misconceptions, this pedestal that people put those that have really obtained and lived by the insight, that they're somehow this imaginary figure they create in their head, like they're always happy, they're always love filled, they're always this and that, and it's like, don't put your projections onto me. No, but don't put your but like I think that's the thing right there, where it's just like, no, like I think that's the concept of, it's temporary. Yes, I'm fully aware that like I'm feeling frustrated or angry or sad or upset or happy or gleeful, but I know that it's temporary. It doesn't mean you don't experience it. Like you're not some stoic.
Yeah. And it's a deep inner knowing. And actually, to that point that you mentioned about, you know, being stoic and this, is that there is many opportunities to also fall into the trap of what they call spiritual bypassing, right? And this is a very real thing. So So when it comes to, especially as you, one deepens in the self-recognition and the insight that when these things arise, it's not even about, oh, well, now it's my newly recognized self. I will use this technique and just abide as the self to avoid it. There is, at this point, for those who are deepening in this, you should know, please believe that there is no running and hiding. There is nowhere to go. You will not be able to hide from this. So the spiritual bypassing that seems easier before that type of recognition becomes tremendously difficult afterwards. If there's really, you know, before and after, I use that term loosely, but don't run. If there's suffering, then allow yourself to fully feel what you feel. Mm. And if it becomes, it turns into despair, I truly understand despair for the suffering of others, perceived others, despair that's, you know, the suffering that's happening in the world. Yeah. Process it, feel it, be total in it. And then in that, there's a release. And just abide as the self, stay as the self.
Yeah.
The self has space for that. That's the thing. It's the belief that you can't hold that is like, wait a minute. You know, I say there are no holders of space. You are the space. It's just in trying to hold one aspect of that space, then the suffering is actually just creating more division. So process and then return to the wholeness.
Like, we seemingly lost it.
Seemingly, right. Or apparently, or it appears to be. Yes. Just an appearance.
I mean, that's the cool thing about this process of life. You know, there's a great mystery that we're all taking part in. You know, it's a gracious gift. It's a loving game. And it's super fun to discover our own abilities. And I think that's kind of one of the biggest shifts or awakenings that I had, was when I started to really recognize it's like, it's about how you want to dance. It's like, it's all about you tapping into your unique spirit and expression of the one. That's the gift. It came in, it was like one of those, like, I always call them like the Matrix downloads, you know, like, I know Kung Fu. Like, it was just, I can't remember what actually caused the yearning for it, but I think it came along with something about like, what am I supposed to do? Like, it was one of those like random questions where I was just like, now what? Like, now what do I got next? And it was, it just came back to that statement of, now's the time to really shine as the unique light you are, and give reverence to the unique light that each and every being is, for it's all an expression of the one. And it came through that recognition of, you know, we're each a window of awareness stemming from source. And I was just like, okay, well, if each window is amazing and unique and like divinely beautiful and gifted, then we're all going to be expressing our own thing in our own way. That's our gift to the world. That's like the service unto humanity. And this is why it's always cool to really tap in with others, is because it's, I always love just to hear everyone's different perspectives and their own gifts and abilities and how they came into their journey. Yet we all come back to the same source of knowing. That, like, it still blows my mind to this day, where it's like, oh, I love it. I love this shit so much. It's so fun.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Do you have another blessing for the viewers?
I do, yes. All right. Well, may all be blessed with clarity and true knowing of the self, and abide in that peace and happiness. Om Shanti Shanti. Namaste.
Namaste.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode. Whoop, I already said all that.
Oh, I just got 114. So I've been getting this angel number all for the last week. 1414. Now I've got it again. Wow.
That's cool. That's an interesting one. Yeah, I've been getting 144 a lot.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it was quite poignant for me. I asked spirit, like, I was doing a particular like service, like energy healing, and I was doubting whether I should be doing it, and I said, angels, can you show me a sign? And then as I finished the healing, I got 1414, and then I got it with coaching the other day, today, and again when I did a group full moon ceremony, I got 1414 after. I've just got 114.
I love it.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
Whoo, that rain was doping.
Pretty heavy now. And one thing about Guatemala is the rainy season is actually quite nice. Like, it rains at night, and then in the day, the sun comes out again.
Oh, everything's all dry.
Yeah. I'm getting cut off again. I can feel and hear the thunder. I know how this goes, so I'm
just heads up.
That's, yeah.
So, we could ask a, well, let's just do this really quick so we don't have to worry about it. We'll film an outro really quick.
Nice.
Just so we have it, so whatever happens. And with that, I just want to say thank you so much, Virginia, for coming on Creative Chat. Any last words for the audience?
Thank you so much for listening, and keep manifesting. Keep your faith.
Ooh. So in terms of, I guess you would say, bringing it to the point of this disclosure on extraterrestrials, because I know personally, and I've tried to talk with people about it, I know quite a few people actually who they're just not comfortable talking about it publicly. But, you know, when I make my big statements on social medias, they get some messages being like, yo, me too. You know, that more people are openly experiencing these different crafts. They're having different, you know, astral experiences. They've had experiences in their past. And I know personally, I've had quite a few in my youth and then in my adulthood. I don't know if you're aware of a CSETI. It's like the ranch in Eastern Washington. I had a very profound meditative experience with ETs out there.
Oh, good.
To the point where it was like, you know, meditating. And then while I was meditating, you know, I was in a deep, deep, deep state. And all of a sudden I hear all these people being like, oh my gosh, whoa. And then I open my eyes and we see, you know, this orb, you know, having these multicolored flashes of light.
Yeah.
While this is all going on. So I was like, okay. And it went away when I opened my eyes, obviously. So I was like, I want to see it. And then I start meditating again. It happens again. So then I learned some things from different people who are in that community. And I was essentially trying to communicate through the heart of being like, can I see? You know, and then when I opened my eyes, then it would flash. And then I started to ask them to show different colors, and then it would show different colors. And by the end of it, I was just like, if people don't think that this stuff exists, I don't know what it's going to happen. Like, yeah. So
you see, whenever you ask, you get the answer. You've got it in your head. You get exactly what you need to see to confirm what your theories are about, you know, and you've always been able to do that, you know, and, that's the intuition. You have strong intuition that just goes to the right time, the right place, and everything right turns right. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something you can always count on. So I think
that's good to know.
I think that everyone has their own intuitive abilities. It just depends on where it is in their life. You know, if it's in a certain house, it means that area of life is going to be full of intuitive experiences. If Neptune is somewhere else, Neptune's right in my fourth house. So it's with my home environment. So I always felt my parents around the house when they were upset with each other or when they were having fun or something. I knew. I just knew. I had my door shut in my bedroom and they had a door shut to their living room. I knew what was going on, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
I just did, you know, and I could sense what was happening. So I think the thing about an astrology chart, if people don't know where any of this stuff is for them, you know, don't know where to look to discover where this stuff happens for them, chart's really a good idea to get done.
So I'm curious what this said. So this brings me back to that point, because, you know, you talked about kind of like Scorpio and Pluto things. I look at my chart and I see that the 11th house starts at 9 degrees Scorpio and it contains a Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto.
How do I interpret that? What does that mean?
A Pluto in the ninth basically means you have friendships that are Plutonian types. You know, you guys sit around and you go deep, deep stuff. You sit around in a group, you know, and you're talking about really deep and powerful, you know, stuff like what creates the planet, what is nuclear war about, what is death about? That's another thing, you know. Those are the things that, you know, you would probably want to do. And, you know, so you have, and this is where you find a lot of your power.
Funny. It
comes from groups of people that are of like mind that are kind of different.
That's so funny.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty accurate. Oh, okay. Always being the close ones, we go deep. And really, whatever it is, like.
You do it with a group of people. You know, you don't just by yourself. You do it with a group of people.
Yeah.
kind of safer. So it's cool.
Yeah, right. Yeah. With that, I will just say, Eileen, thank you so much for coming on Creatives Chat.
Oh, you're welcome. I've enjoyed it very much.
Oh, yeah.
You guys all said self-mastery, and I just wrote myself a bunch of notes about seeds, because that's my thing. Yeah. Nature's my thing.
But what I was going to add was the willingness and the ableness. Like you said, all it takes is to be willing and be able. And I would say it doesn't even take the being able part. You just need to be willing.
Yeah. Life will find a way.
And that's what I think is that where there is a will, there is a way. And as long, and that will comes from being willing. And that willingness is your willpower. And the more willingness you have, the more willpower you have. And it doesn't matter how able or capable you are if you're not willing.
That's true. Why did you put Saruman in there?
Oh, that was a... So Saruman is an extract from like pine needles that apparently is being used by a lot of people to counter the effects of the...
Oh.
So I have to tell you, my husband just told me that, and he pronounced it Saruman. And I said,
like the dark one?
Right. We were just talking about Gandalf.
Right.
And I said, no way. Saruman is the thing that helps in pine needles. So he doesn't think of himself as a mystic or a psychic. But somehow a week ago, he had pulled off pine needles and poured hot water over them. So we had been drinking it. And then he read to me about this Saruman thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it, because then I realized in that recording that you showed, Rusty, when Gandalf says, I'm Gandalf the White, and I'm what Saruman could have been.
Should have been, yeah.
Should have been.
Mm.
That blew my mind. Pine needles? What Saruman should have been? And Saruman is the thing in pine needles? Wow.
Right?
Yep. Rusty paused.
What happened?
Rusty froze.
Oh, Peter froze. Wait, I didn't freeze. You guys froze.
That's something that I think is so important to recognize is as these times advance, I feel like more things are opening up for other people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as time has kind of evolved, especially this past like 2 years, 3 years, I feel a lot more people's natural abilities are starting to really awaken even further. So I'm curious, have you had any type of shifts arise within yourself that you've noticed certain avenues that might have opened up more or more sensitive to certain things?
Well, I've begun to occasionally, well, just a few times now, I've seen some interesting geometric movement. And I think that I've come to trust my sense of the energetics a little bit more. And part of it had to do with it, like that prickly nature. And you're right. It feels like that.
See, that's fascinating in terms of just the different energies at play and different entities at play. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is another one of those, you know, we just lack the comprehension and we can't quantify these things, but it doesn't doubt the existence. And any type of cleansing and smudging is always going to be very important nowadays with, especially those in the truth or community that are standing up against these things. You know, the attacks are real. Absolutely. I had one the other night.
Oh, you too. Tell me. I'm curious. Tell me about it.
So it was this. So one of the big things that I've been doing lately is working with my teachers, my guides, you know, my ancestors in the different lessons that may not be revealed yet, you know. So it's like I always ask for this, help me learn something that I might not be aware of yet. So I'll have these dreams where it's pseudo lucid. I say it because I'm well aware I'm dreaming, but it's not like I can control the dream per se of like Inception style manifest things within it. So I'm learning in these dreams, waking up feeling, I always like to akin it to Keanu Reeves in The Matrix, like, oh, I know Kung Fu. Like, I'll wake up feeling liberated. I'll wake up with the lessons. I'll wake up with the knowing of just like, okay, well, that's healed. Okay, let's keep going. And about two or three nights ago, I was doing the same thing. It was one of the mantras that I learned from like, you know, the I Am Discourse of Saint Germain, Jesus. It was one of those revelations where it was the mantra he learned in the East was, you know, I am the ascension and the light. I am the resurrection and the life. And I was like, okay, well, let me tap into this with some new profound understandings that I had with the conversation with someone about love. So let's tie all this stuff together. So I was doing that probably for like 10, 15 minutes as I was falling asleep. And I'm literally now astrally in my bed, awake. And there's this giant evil looking thing in front of me. I can't quite see its face, but it's very tall. And it was essentially a lot of negative talk of just being like, you think this and this and that, you mm-hmm. think this and this, you know, just very projecting a lot of negative aspects of what power do you think you have, this, and really just kind of going off, like not lecturing, but almost attacking me, trying to belittle me, really trying to evoke fear. I felt a very dark negative pressure from it. And I just kept saying it. And I was just like, you don't have any power here. And I stood up and like walked to my kitchen, saw my cat. And then that's when I realized, I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like you're walking right now. Like you're floating technically. And I was like, and I look back over and that being was essentially being forced out. And then I see myself sleeping. And then I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then I woke up. So
that's really cool. And you know, once upon a time, I used to think that if that the negativity got into our space, that we hadn't protected ourselves properly or didn't create the energy. And now I think that something different for me when that that being came in multiple times. It was like a day and night. I got very little sleep because I had to keep sort of becoming a semi awake and invoke the sword and whooshing the light out. I knew that I was meant to fight it. Which, you know, fight it with light, absolutely. And then after about a day and a half, 2 days of this, I knew that it was done. So I think we have to be really careful not to judge that we've done something wrong, but rather perhaps we're showing up to face these things because that's the role we're playing in essentially transmuting them. So they go to the light.
Yes, y'all. And that's kind of the insight that I had when I woke up, because I was like, why would that go on? That was a very, like, I've never had that happen before. I really don't astral project or lucid dream like that. And I find that's the kind of fascinating thing, is there's just been this call of action. You know, there's been a lot of people activated. And again, life is going to present us these opportunities where it's like, okay, you know this in your heart now, utilize it. And it's almost like this little testing playing ground where it's just like, let's see what they do. Are they going to stand by the truth? Are they going to succumb to fear? Are they going to, because I've had plenty of weird kind of sleep paralysis experiences in my youth that, you know, it took me a while to really overcome the fear and just embrace the moment before those things stopped happening. Uh-huh. But like, I just think of your experience, my experience, and I know that there's a few others from other people in my life where there's been a lot of interesting activity on that plane where it's to really test if someone's going to put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. And it's a huge test of letting go of fear.
Yeah. Again, that comes back to the application of these higher truths and, you know, downloads and, you know, intuitive vibes that we receive, is bringing it down into this manifested plane of the 3D, where it's always a transformative experience when we kind of come to recognize that there is more than just this physical life. But in the sense where that's where the curiosity also can't end, because it's like, okay, well, if you know that this is, you know, a playground of a dream, so to speak, then there is other realms and places with beings. And that's one thing about life, is it's pretty infinite. So there's no limit to what can really impact us here. And that transition of really passing the torch back to yourself in terms of your drive for cooking, when did it register for you that it's just like, yeah, this is for me?
I think it all goes back to Cantonetta for me, my very first kitchen job. There was, how do I put this? The way that the restaurant was set up had the most romantic, inspiring lighting, where you would walk in and the sun would be kind of coming in from this way, and it would separate out into the kitchen. It was this glorious, just golden hour throughout the whole restaurant. It was it just was so inspiring that it was like, God, this is what I need. This is what I need to be doing. Because I would come in and I would see this beautiful light and I'd be making all this wonderful food and seeing all these people happy and smiling. And I was like, God, this is it. This is what I want.
I love it. Well, I was just going to say, it just goes to show the actual artistic layers to owning a restaurant, where it comes to like the layout, how you like your kitchen laid out, to the, you know, how you like your storage and your walk-ins and everything set up, to then the restaurant itself, of just like how you like, what do you want for the wall, for like the color of the walls, curtains, no curtains, you know, like big ceilings, tall ceilings, like there's so many different things to arrange and just kind of like analyze when it comes into creating a restaurant. Have you been involved in like any of the design for anything like that?
I have had the opportunity to be involved in some design here and there. After I worked for Cantonetta, I was working within the same group. We were opening up another place. Ooh. And someone very, very near and dear to my heart, his name's Luciano, very incredible Sicilian guy. He's always very like in your face and like, this is going to be amazing. And this is awesome. And this is great. And we were designing the bar next door together as we were kind of going through the setup of the restaurant. And, you know, me and him and his wife would pick out the paint colors and pick out all the pictures that were going to go on the wall and all of the aesthetic touches. And it was a pretty cool experience. We actually, we did actually hang up some old pictures of my grandparents in that space.
Oh, wow. That's super cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that really just echoed to me was this radiation of love and peace and consciousness and oneness. And that really is like the pivotal kind of deciding factor, what you're in service of, yourself or life itself, is that the energy just, it's what you said so eloquently, where it's like, you know, and you give that energy back. You put it back out into the world. And it's been a theme that's come up these past few interviews, where when we come into ourselves, we naturally want to like help others. I think it's just one of those things, like when our happiness reservoir, when our cup is filled up, it literally comes back to that old, you know, cheesy saying, is the cup overfloweth, you know, and you become that just source of just calm, of peace, of unity, of recognition, of learning, building community, like whatever it is you do, it always carries around that essence and that aroma of just peace. So in terms of the kind of leading blockages to this, you know, you talk about your reservoir, you know, the kidney system, the Dantian, like how does having blockages in that area or not even breathing consciously impact your ability to kind of remain in that effortless flow?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a big one.
That's loaded questions.
Yeah, no. Well, to start with, my news is that my wife and daughter and I have changed our last name to Love.
Ooh.
Legally. Just yesterday.
Dope. Congratulations.
So, yep. So now my name is Jude Love. Kind of like Jude Law, you know. So Trapani is my surname, and so I'm carrying around all this past limitation consciousness, and I don't even know it. That's what's trippy about the world today, is there's so much limitation consciousness that we just kind of accept it for, it's almost like the air we breathe, you know. And so what does it take, what courage does it take, and what programs have I had to run and clear in order to sign the paper that says, yes, I want to legally change my name to Jude Love? And you can imagine, like, what a cornball this is so stupid. Your family's going to think you're crazy. The world's going to think you're crazy. This is just some new age hippie crap, you know, and all that stuff. So it's really a statement of, do I have the courage to move into this space? And I think it gets to your question of how do we do even a step of that?
Yeah.
And how do we overcome those overlays that limit us in our expression of our true self?
Mm.
And I think that that is the journey. The journey is to let go of the things that are limiting us and move into more of who we are. And this is why I love Tai Chi and Qigong, is because that is the premise of Tai Chi and Qigong. So we want to remove the blockages in our physical and energetic fields that limit our chi power. And once we learn and get trained on how to do that, our chi power grows, and it's reflective of our personal journeys. All of us individually, you know, like Joseph Campbell talks about the hero's journey, and you unfold all these things, and then you become a new being. You're resurrected, you're rebirthed into a new consciousness. And there's lots of different ways to do it. But I thought, well, why don't I have practices that really foster this very thing that I'm, you know, passionate about in my life? And I'd love to see the whole world go in that direction.
Ooh. Because, well, I'm curious, like, are you sensitive to the point where you feel the energies of different materials and minerals? Because I know as my spiritual journey's unfolded, I've become a lot more sensitive to my phone in a bad way. It kind of hurts, like certain technologies, but also just like the feeling of others that are really tapped in, like that radiant love, that lightness. Oh no. Lost some audio.
Talking to the water. And so it had to do with consciousness, expansion and everything. So anyway, that was.
Hey, Dr. Pollock in the house. Love it. I think one of the things that, you know, obviously like Western science and Western world is this, you know, needs to be quantifiable. And you've done that with relatively simple equipment. And that's one of the things that is pretty fascinating to me, is that at what level could almost the individual small scale scientist do their own experiments on this?
Well, they can. Yeah, again, it's really easy. And in the fourth phase book, I describe how they can do it, how they can detect easy water in like five easy steps. All you need is, well, you need a petri dish, some water, or actually any kind of water, a dye, which gets excluded from the exclusion zone or easy or fourth phase water. So you can look at where the dye isn't, very simple dye, and a magnifying glass, and you can do it yourself. It's really easy. Cool.
Yeah. And it's that aspect of kind of reinvigorating the natural curiosity that we kind of lose through the indoctrination process that I've found has been pretty interesting, just because, you know, I do my own experiments with water. And one of them that I've been doing lately is charging it in the sun in a glass vessel. And then, you know, I'll do some type of like prayer or mantra. And then before that, I'll put it into a copper vessel to let it rest overnight. Again, another round of prayer and mantra. And I do blind experiments with friends that come over, and they've noticed observable differences within the water. It's more viscous. It's taste. As they say, it tastes better. It tastes like more, like this water tastes like what water. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has that kind of velvety, silky taste.
Yeah, exactly. Velvety. Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I hope you actually publish your experiments, if you are doing them in a scientific manner, which I expect you are. because the world needs to know about this. I've heard the same from so many people.
True.
Yeah. Peter, I unfortunately, either if we continue on, I miss lunch, but I need lunch.
Yeah, of course. Oh my gosh, what a treasure trove of knowledge you've been, Dr. Pollack. I just want to say.
Oh, thank you. It's really my pleasure.
Share the videos.
Yeah, comment. Let us know what you think of our shows. You know, hey, you can't hurt our feelings much.
I'm pretty pliable in that sense. Say what you got to say.
Yes, we love our community and we love you and thank you for supporting it. Everybody, have a happy always.
Roll the outro.
That's what I was waiting for.
Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. Thank you, We Are Storkly, for your conscious human apparel. Shop online at wearehistorically.com.
Level up your life and raise your vibration with specialized Fibonacci tuning forks. Get your vibrational sound tools for your personal enhancement at energybodytuners.com.
Another Creative Art production by Retro Earth Studio.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching our show. Click the bell button to get notified of future episodes. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Join us as we chat about who knows what.
I love it. That was great. Yeah, let's roll with that. That was perfect. I like that.